Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Man, shit is crazy, y'all. Like, what am I gonna do? I gotta find a new job.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something. Laugh at something. Today, we're taking a look at the state of the industry.
Woo, it's like a State of the Union address.
That's right.
Yeah.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny DeVilla.
What's up, people?
Well, let's get into it really quickly because we did some shows, obviously, when COVID happened.
Yeah.
When the first onset, we were out of work.
Exactly.
Then we were wondering, what the heck are we
going
to do?
On? Exactly. Yeah.
What's going on? Very frightening times, very uncertain times. Mm-hmm. And it still is for the most part.
Sure.
Then we did shows throughout, and then, hey, the pivot. What are we going to do? How this industry is going to
change in this and the third.
Yes, and change and adapt, more importantly.
Absolutely.
You know, to adapt. And now we're a few months in.
Mm-hmm.
Some businesses have made it, some haven't. And by made it, I mean survived.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure of any that are thriving, but they're, you know, surviving.
Yeah, some people are, yeah, absolutely.
So I really want to have a nice quick discussion about
where we're at.
Where we're at as an industry.
Yeah.
You know, as a whole. And it's a really tough question to answer because there's so many challenges identifying how to handle serving food in a building.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
There's so many questions. There's so many different rules, and you've been a couple places, and so have I. And
yeah,
there's different rules for different states. There's different rules that, you know,
different counties and
absolutely
different states.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to touch on all those things right now.
Yes, without a doubt. So I was in San Diego recently, and you know, I think they're the same, similar readiness.
Are they in the same like state that we are in? I mean, not state, but you know what I mean.
In the similar position to Florida. I think they're unique in a way that they have nice weather.
Okay.
So they can use a lot of outdoor space.
The same way we do in South Florida.
Same way we do in South Florida. I should clarify that statement. Not that they can use outdoor space. They're used to using outdoor space.
On a regular basis.
Yes. Yeah. Throughout the year.
Exactly.
You know.
Where like a lot, I've noticed a lot of people are worried about New York City and places like that because of that, because it's starting to get colder and things
correct
like that. And they're starting to, you know, New York's a very tight area.
And there's only so much side work you can give a New York restaurant.
Exactly. And then what are you going to do when it gets cold?
What are you going to do when it gets cold? And that's where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of the country gets cold.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? You can't really, there's only so much sidewalk some places have spill out into the street and they cut down the lanes and the traffic and things like that, which is a good pivot move because you need those dollars coming in.
Absolutely.
You know, and there's less traffic because there's less people coming through your city anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, the workarounds is what it's all about. So we can't speak to all the workarounds. We can speak to ones we see.
The ones we see and so, ones we've been to.
Yeah. So now I can only imagine what we're going to find out when winter hits
what those cold weather cities are going to be able to do.
Because New York's only 25% inside right now, and that's just, that's hard.
That's nothing.
Yeah, yeah. You can't keep your, that's, it's, you can't keep your lights on in New York City with 25%.
In a, 25% in a small establishment.
Exactly. You need at least 50% to keep your lights on.
At least.
At least. I was reading an article about it. I was like, man, I feel really bad for these people because, you know, what, you know, people that business have been there for a long time or mm-hmm. it's like you said, like, you know, they're smaller, their imprints are less.
Yes.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? If, let's say you're, you know, a 20 table spot when you can only see five of those tables. You know, that's hard work.
Yeah. Yeah. You're drowning.
Yeah.
And it's everyone can point to takeout being the obvious.
True. Of course. Know? Yeah.
But there's a lot.
There's only so much takeout you can even do anyways. As a person, as a person being wanting to get out, you know, a lot of people want to get out now.
That's true.
You know, it's not about we've been inside. We've been doing the takeout thing. That entire 3 months or 4 months of everybody being on lockdown mm-hmm. was takeout city. You know what I mean? You learn how to cope with it. Then it was, you know, it was what it was. But now you're at the point where people are starting getting out and they're going out more and they're starting to get more used to being out. And, you know, what's going to happen is what we're trying to figure out right now.
Yeah. There's also, so takeout being the obvious, prepared meals. You know, you pick up a full, you know, soup to nuts meal mm-hmm. instead of like, you know, some places are doing that entire,
yeah,
you know,
throw it in the oven kind of thing.
And, correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And I've also done some research and found that some places are lending their, and now there's two components, in my opinion, to the restaurant business. Mm-hmm. There's the food part of it, like absolutely. Delivering food and whatever else. And there's the paying your bills side of it.
Absolutely.
You know, and one of your biggest bills is your rent. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you do with that space? And some of them are using it for retail, mm-hmm. you know. So now retail can be anything from apparel to, you know, jarred sauces, mm-hmm. you know, you're selling pickles, for instance, or whatever, you do that. There's shipping, you know, you ship these out for, but then you got to let people know you're there, that they're doing it. You have a following and things like that.
It's a whole different advertising structure.
Yeah.
And that brings cost.
That brings cost. That
you don't, right now, if you're already struggling, you know, it's hard to bring why you can't add to cost if you can't make money to bring it in.
True. True. I've even seen, did I mention the groceries?
You mentioned like pickles or something. So yes, from the grocery side.
But some are, you know, partnering with like farmers markets mm-hmm. and, you know, putting together grocery items and things like that, which is interesting, but that's also using what you have available to you.
Absolutely.
So I mentioned in a previous show, you know, my trip to San Diego, and a lot of places, one of the places I had breakfast with was right next to a bar.
Okay.
Like I wouldn't call it more of a nightclub, but let's just say it's a bar.
Yeah.
Right? And that bar had open space inside, so they were able to use that for breakfast seating as well as the sidewalk and the parts of the street.
Yes.
And they would use their frontage from the bar as well as their own that they had.
And they said, yeah, then they switched.
Switch
it. It was like a shared.
It was like a co-op. Wasn't clear if it was the same owner, but it behooves you to partner up with another business.
Yeah.
That you can grow share.
Helps on both ends.
Exactly. So at night they were able to use the space mm-hmm. for their, you know, their purpose.
Makes perfect sense.
Which makes, that's a genius move.
Yeah.
You know? And so you're leaning on your neighbors. Mm-hmm. You know, so what my research has shown me is that they're partnering with other businesses. Usually, you know, you see a bar partnering with a restaurant. Mm-hmm. So a lot of places you can't just have a bar be open if they don't have food.
Exactly.
So then
we even saw some of that in South Florida.
Yeah. So then the restaurant would provide the food for the bar.
Exactly.
Where it's a location. So for instance, like Boardroom Bar.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking about.
I was just there last night. Picked up some food.
Nice. Okay.
And so they will serve you at Boardroom Bar from that, you know.
The establishment right next door.
Yeah, the establishment next door and things like that. So that's a great use of partnerships.
Absolutely.
You know?
It one hand washes the other.
True. True. In survival,
yeah,
you're not really talking you're competition.
Yeah, you're in the barter system at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, it's been going on for thousands of years.
Yeah.
So obviously it has its, you know, ups and downs, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
We will survive as people, and we it's, you know, it needs to, you got to just find a way.
Well, you hope you survive.
Absolutely.
You know, you hope you survive because I think it's, it's close to 100,000 right now, restaurants that have closed or permanently or long term.
Wow.
Yeah. And that puts over 3 million employees out of work.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
That's huge.
And the government still hasn't figured out what they want to do for this for these unemployment people yet. They're
Well, that's a whole other show.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a whole other conversation.
Correct. And that, I mean, we have such a, that's a, we have a big industry.
Yeah.
It touches a lot of people.
Oh, it's huge.
It's huge. I can't even tell you.
Hospitality is huge. I mean, look at Fight Club. Look at all those people. Remember Fight Club, the movie?
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler Durden says, he goes, he had the underground of the world. We are the underground. We are in touch with everything. I feel like.
We are.
Yeah.
And what's it? I forget how many billions are going to be lost by the end of the year that they estimated.
Oh, I'm sure. It's
like 2.4 billion.
That's
no,
it.
Sorry.
That's got to be more than that.
240 billion.
Yeah, I was like, that's not even that much.
Yeah,
I mean, it is, but it's, you know,
the industry may lose 240 billion by the end of the year.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You know, because I work at a restaurant that's doing what it can do, and it's doing well on that kind of standard,
mm-hmm.
but it's still not even close to what it would be. Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Agreed.
So, I mean, I'll take it. I'm one of the blessed few. You know what I mean? But you know, it's, you can definitely see the numbers aren't what they normally are, and it's being affected across the board.
Yes. So what I'm estimating that we're at in the industry at the moment is inventing ways to use what you have.
Absolutely.
To keep the doors open that, you know, people, okay, let's just say everybody's waiting on a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the vaccine more represents less of a public health restriction. I mean, less restrictions where you're not having a, what am I trying to say here? A liability.
Yes.
Okay. By having people too close together.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So now
it takes away from the liability because you can get vaccinated or you can choose not to go out. It gives you a little more option, a little more leeway.
Correct. And it gives the government a chance to be plausible by saying, you know, well, we have these distances and these regulations mm-hmm. to serve as a public health
standard,
yeah. Right? To prevent things from getting worse.
Preventing the spread.
Correct. Now, with a vaccine, that is an added option.
Absolutely.
Where, you know, you can still...
You can prevent the spread and start to close the gap, as we could say.
So now, Florida, that's going to be an interesting experiment because they've opened more than...
Florida right now is...
Okay, talk to me.
So I'll give you... So the whole state is wide open as of literally a week and a half ago.
Okay.
Here in South Florida, our laws are a little bit different from the rest of the state. We are a little bit more behind, not in a bad way, but you know, like they, even though DeSantis said, hey,
I don't want to say our laws are the same for the state, but our lawmakers
yes.
are
a little more cautious. I guess we'll say.
Yes.
So, So the rest of the state is open for normal business as a whole. Okay. The only speculation is social distancing. Okay. Where, like, if you can have as many people you want in your party, as long as the next table is social distanced. You can have up to 100% occupancy. And this is even down here. As long as you have social distance. So it depends on the size of your establishment. Like, if you're able to hold, to hit your maximum occupancy and keep social distancing, you're allowed to do that. It's between 50 and 100% occupancy as long as you have social distance between the tables.
No. So, okay, go ahead.
So for my restaurant, which is a smaller restaurant, we have to stay at the 50% because we can't follow the social distance rule without having less tables. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
It does.
So now that's like, you know, if we were talking about sidewalks.
It doesn't, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay, well, at least for inside for us. Outside, okay. we're almost at occupancy because we were able to use the sidewalk and create areas outside.
Yeah.
And we're blessed because we live in South Florida and we can do that year round. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where, like we said, other places up north, they don't have that option. In a couple of months, the game is over for them.
Yeah, there ain't no heater in the world.
No. It don't matter. You can bring them all out again. Still not sitting outside again.
Exactly. See, that's interesting because I'm still fuzzy on what you can and can't do because I think they also took the teeth away from being punitive.
Yeah, no,
as well.
They did. You can't be fined and stuff like that. You can now down here we are you guys closing at midnight? I mean, is that the end all be all, or are you guys 11 o'clock?
I haven't been back to work. I'm still on vacation.
Okay.
Yeah.
From what I understand, from where you're at, I think it's 11 o'clock. From when I was talking to people that at other businesses in that same town. We are midnight and I don't know.
So it's like from town to town?
So far down here. But when you go to West Palm and up, everything north of West Palm is 2 o'clock.
Okay. Or so whatever, basically back to normal.
Back to their normal hours operation.
Okay. So we still have limited hours.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's like 11 o'clock and then midnight, everybody has to be off the premises.
So then we're just regular then for my
for, place. Yeah, for me and you, we're regular, okay. Which is fine. But you know, for other places like bars and stuff that are open later that, you know, that thrive at that, you know, that midnight till 2 or 4, you know, depending on the law or how.
So now tell me about sitting at a bar. Can you do that now?
Yes.
Is it distance?
Yes, but it's also like, let's say there's 4 of us in a group.
Mm-hmm.
We all 4 can sit together at the bar.
Okay.
As long as they're, and then there has to be 6 feet between the next group of people.
Okay.
So if you have the space, yes, you can sit at the bar. It's awesome.
Okay.
And I've been to a couple of bars and it was great. Actually, I went to the Parrot.
All right.
Yeah, I was able to sit down. It was an amazing feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then as long as you have that distance between, you're good to go.
Okay, so now what about, so obviously if bars are open, they don't have to have food. They could just be a bar and open.
The one of our bigger bars, Elbow Room, had opened up mm-hmm. right after the law went into effect. So yes, but you're supposed to have social distancing. You're supposed to have a mask on. I mean, there's been instances where we have seen people that don't, but not everybody's going to follow their own rules. Now the mask thing, it was completely, you don't have to wear a mask technically right now in the state of Florida at a restaurant. Now it is 150% on the rules that you do have to follow the rules of the establishment though.
Okay.
So if your establishment says you got to have a mask to come in, there's no arguing that.
I can do what I want.
No, yeah. And we can tell you to leave.
Okay.
Just as fast as you think you can do what you want. And yeah, you're right. It's America. You can do what you want on that sidewalk over there. Not here. This is a dictatorship.
Gotcha.
And you do have the right to say that straight to their face.
Okay.
So, which is fair. And I think it should be that way. I mean, I think each establishment should have their own kind of, I mean, if their rule is, hey, you know, you got to wear a mask, you come in, then you follow that rule. That's just, it's as simple as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you go somewhere and say, hey, they want you to wear a t-shirt, shorts, and shoes, you got to follow that rule. I don't see why there should even be a confrontation about it. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, now you can always choose to go somewhere else that lets you do what you want,
mm-hmm.
but follow that establishment's rules.
Gotcha. Wow. That's what do you think's going to happen with the numbers after that?
So far since this happened, nothing's really changed, at least down here.
Yeah, but it takes
time. It does take time. And I, of course,
it takes time to mess up.
Absolutely. I've like with anything, I think there's going to be a spike. You know what I mean? But I'm just hoping it's not an overwhelming spike. I think with when you start to open the floodgates, you're going to flood. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's the same. It's the same. Everything's the same.
So you have to, what you're hoping for is that water doesn't pass that certain, you know, that realm of where it becomes disastrous. You know, that's what we're hoping for at this point, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
To be honest, you know, like even when we first opened restaurants, you know, the cases went up and you expect that to happen because people have been in, then they're coming out and then you have more people getting tested. But the good thing is they've with all this other stuff, they've added money for testing and they've boosted all that and people are starting to get more regular with what they have to do. And then, so there's laws and now we're kind of used to it. So I feel like it shouldn't be as bad this time around because it's not like a blind open. You know what I mean? Like we've been open, we were following rules. Now we just open up a little bit more.
A lot more.
Well, yes, but I'm trying to gauge it across the board, you know, because not everybody's like us down in Florida. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, but that's just it. I mean, let us know what state of readiness or what state of what's that thing? The 1, 2, and 3 level one.
Yeah.
You know,
what level? Stage one, stage two.
Yeah.
Or stage
what stage are you in your state? Let us know. Email us at themodernwaiter@gmail.com or at themodernwaiterpodcast on the Instagram, and we love hearing from our guests.
Yeah. So tell us about California. You were just there. So what was like some of their rules?
Well, that's the thing. It's not all across the board there either, too.
Gotcha.
You know, because San Diego County had the food tax. Mm-hmm. They had...
Now, when you were in San Francisco, what was going on there?
Well, I was in San Francisco 6 weeks prior.
Okay.
Or maybe 5 weeks prior.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And there was no indoor dining.
Okay.
You know, San Diego, they still had indoor dining at a reduced capacity and outside things like that.
Are they 50% in San Diego or 25? Did they give you any options or you didn't know?
It looked to be 50%.
Okay.
It looked to be.
Like every other kind of thing.
Yeah, because there was a good amount of space.
Good. Okay.
Some places will let you sit at the bar. Some places didn't, you know. It didn't seem to be... It's odd because
everywhere is case by case, I feel like.
Everywhere is case by case. We went to a couple places that took our name, first and last. Took our temperature.
Well, temperature has been the norm.
I get it, but I'm saying other places you just roll right in.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just observing. It's odd how, and it doesn't mean like the place is nicer or worse or what. You could just walk up to they want you to sanitize your hands. Mm-hmm. They want your first and last name. They're writing that down. One phone number. And your firstborn.
Very prying, huh?
Yeah.
Very prying.
And so it's like, sanitize your hands. It's just like, okay, that's cool. You know, hey, I'm all for protecting yourselves and each other. Boom. But it wasn't all across the board.
Yeah, there was no real anonymity with those places like that. That's just like
you can't anonymity.
Being anonymous, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you can give them any old name and number you
true.
Want.
True. Okay, I got you, man.
You know,
you can lie.
Exactly.
Joe Blow.
James. So you know, but they did a good job for the most part, I thought, with using their outside space and. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, if you go somewhere and it's a ghost town because you're really hamstrung, you know, it's remarkable when we're going on the plane and...
Oh, yeah. How was the planes? I haven't been on a plane.
The middle seat was empty.
Still empty? Okay.
Although I did read an email from JetBlue that on the 15th of October, they're going to start seating the middle seat.
Okay.
But some other airlines have sat the middle seats.
Yes, there has been.
So that's, you know, I don't fault anybody for, you know, making a buck or surviving.
Mm-hmm.
It's really up to the customer or the client. What am I trying to say today?
Both.
You know, it's up to the consumer. That's what I really wanted to say.
Word, yes.
It's up to the consumer to decide for themselves, you know. We're not going to sit there. You cannot buy a ticket.
Let me ask you, let's say you are that consumer and you are worried about your health. Do they prevent you or will they, like, let's say I buy two tickets because I'm, you know, let's say I'm just extra, but mm-hmm. I got the money to do it. Mm-hmm. I want to buy two tickets because mm-hmm. I want two seats. I want nobody next to me.
Yeah.
Are they, because you know how some say, well, all the seats are available. No. Can I say, hey, I bought this seat. Nobody
can
say
here. Yeah, it's not like Southwest. You can buy a seat.
Okay.
That's no problem.
Gotcha.
But you kind of have that middle seat anyway. Well, at this time.
No. Right now. But I'm just saying, like, let's say if you are that, you're conscious
about. If you're extra, you could buy two first class seats if you want. You could buy the whole plane out. They're still making their revenue.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's no problem. Do it, money bags.
I'm just asking for the people out there. You know, this is more of a generalized question.
With more money to burn, I think at that point you fly your own plane or you drive.
True.
You
know? But I mean, we're not at that kind of level. But, you know, I mean, like.
If you're at the level of buying two seats.
Well, two seats can be an extra $150. That's not that big of a deal.
For now. Well, I see what you're saying. But my larger point was they made an announcement. Make sure you're standing 6 feet apart as you board the plane. But you're definitely not going to be 6 feet apart on the plane. Well,
yeah, you can't. It's impossible.
You know, so it's like all these little things just, it's posturing. And okay. I find a lot of this is posturing, but you kind of have to do something.
Yeah, you got to try. You got to try.
You do have to try. That's so funny. Speaking of trying, do try to give us a 5-star rating. It really does help us out with the algorithm.
Give us a 5-star rating. No,
and do, if you enjoy our show, pass it on to a friend. You know, it really helps us out. If you don't enjoy the show, I'm wondering why you're listening.
But don't stop listening. Keep enjoying the show.
That's my whole point. But we do this for you every week. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny DeVilla. Subscribe.
See you next week.
Later.
'Cause problems is real. Should I pull a stick up if I had some steel? Sometimes I ask myself, am I feeling this way? Like the weight of the world resting on my shoulders.
From the beginning to the end, my life has been blessed. I seen the best get tested, left death. To me, we next, so what's next is best kept. We need no vets, just big checks and blood sets.
Still, reality TV's distorting your view. There goes another empty seat on your church pew. Diamond trading, killing every day, but it freezes, which makes it more contagious to sneezes. Go figure.
I'm home fresh, it's nothing less. Can't even get no gas. No dollars for the bus, no papers for my ass. My clothes is lower class. To know me is to love me. My strength is in my pain, but only God can judge me.
What's going on? Differences in the world can't get along. Majority is screaming, they right, they damn wrong. Politics and bills stress, they start bitching. Leave the scars on the world, it's open and steady itching. Going on, differences in the world can't get along. Majority is screaming, they right, they damn wrong.